Welcome to Mind Shock. This is your host, Bruce McGuire, and as part of our Halloween episodes, we have a special guest in the house. A former government employee. I have not been able to nail down which exact agencies he has worked for, but he has agreed to join us on the podcast as well as some of the other podcasts and give his thoughts and views. So this is JR.
How are you?
How's it going? So once again, if you're not subscribed to our channel, make sure you subscribe and hit the bell for notifications and check out our other social media sites, Facebook, Reddit, and Twitter. So today's topic, we're going to be going over the Dogman government conspiracy. Is there a government cover-up about Dogman and its existence? If you've checked out our previous episode on Bigfoot, which I will be asking JR's thoughts on as well, now that we have him here. So what can you tell us about your work history, JR? Because how does someone know you didn't just work as like a janitor for the Park Service or something?
Well, I mean, like, you know, I guess it could have been that I worked for, you know, like as a janitor for the Park Service. I mean, you know, like, see, what a lot of people don't understand is that, like, you know, working for the government is a very broad spectra. The government is effectively the people, right? So as a government agent, you know, I mean, and I'm not necessarily naming any particular organization that I worked for, but when you work as a government agent, you don't necessarily not work for a particular office. I mean, you know, like, there's those movies that you see on TV where you wear a suit and you wear a tie and you carry a gun and you do all kinds of crazy stuff. You know, like, and I know a lot of people that do that, but at the end of the day, I worked for the roles that I needed to work for in order to fill my particular obligations for the agencies that I worked for at that particular time.
And so, you've also said you've had connections with military personnel, or you worked in some kind of joint military operations with the government. What can you tell us, if anything, about that?
Well, there's a lot of organizations out there, like, you know, I mean, we'll just throw one out, like DARPA. You know, I mean, that's a pretty big umbrella. I mean, there are people that, like, work as janitors for DARPA. There's people that, like, you know, like, are fucking floating in space because of DARPA. So, I mean, you know, like, I work for, like, you know, like, various entities that, like, may or may not be sidecar entities of other big organizations that are named purely for budgetary reasons.
Very political answer. What if someone was flat out to ask you, which alphabet soup agency have you worked for? What would you say?
I'd tell them to go fuck themselves.
So you're not at liberty to discuss that?
No, I'm not at liberty to discuss that. I'm not going to discuss it with, like, some fucking, like, YouTube channel. No. I'm not at liberty to, you know, discuss that. I mean, you know, like, there have been people out there in the past that, like, you know, like, have discussed certain things and done certain things, and now they're sitting in a fucking, you know, 7x5, you know, box. So, I mean, yeah, like, no, I'm not going to go there with you. But, I mean,
so let me ask you this. I know you want to protect your family and everything, but why now? Why have you agreed to come out and say what you know or give your input? So I'm assuming you no longer work for these agencies because you're willing to do this now?
Well, you can assume whatever you want, but at the end of the day, you know, I protect my family and everything. And, you know, like, I've decided to speak out now because, you know, we're in a political climate, especially, like, you know, with the advent of, like, various people that were elected or unelected for various reasons, and other people that were put in positions of power that were not part of the whole executive branch of government, which everyone on TV has been completely focused with the executive branch of government. But there's been a lot of people appointed lately. The political climate in this country has changed drastically. And as a result, I feel that, you know, it's not necessarily, like, telling people something that they didn't already know. It's verifying that they were right.
So if someone were to ask about shadow government or behind-the-scenes agencies that nobody knows about, or even the sort of taboo term, the Illuminati, would you be able to give any input on that, or are you going to avoid those questions completely?
Well, I'm not going to necessarily avoid them completely. I mean, obviously, I'm not going to give you, like, the meat and potatoes, which is what you're craving. But what I'm going to say is that, you know, there are those officials in this country that are elected, and there are those officials in this country that rise to the ranks. The ones that rise to the ranks are the ones that really hold the key to power, because they're untouchable in a lot of ways, even by the people that are politically elected, by the people of the United States. So as a result, there is a certain flavor that has, you know, developed over time as certain individuals that probably shouldn't have been promoted were promoted.
So let's cut to the chase of this specific podcast. Right before we get to the Dogman cover-up, can you tell us what you know about Bigfoot? Because I think you told me before that you did have some kind of interactions with the Park Service. So you know several individuals that have worked for the Park Service or in association with the Park Service. Can you tell us if there is, in fact, some kind of a cover-up for Bigfoot?
Well, I mean, before we get to the cover-up of Bigfoot, let me just say that, like, the government, you know, and the Park Service, there are a lot of paramilitary training operations and various operations that take place within the, quote-unquote, Park Service. I think what the American people forget is that the easiest place to hide something is in plain sight. So, I mean, you know, having a secret military organization like the CIA that makes these top-secret phone calls and has, you know, special phones in their offices and completely, like, untransparent, that's actually more difficult for the government to hide things in front of the American people than something as simple as the Park Service. When you go to the park, you see people mowing lawns. You don't really think anything of it. You're there camping with your family. So there's actually a tremendous amount of things that, you know, transpire through the Park Service, the National Science Foundation, the Department of Energy, because these organizations are actually very cut and dry, and people don't give it a second thought. So before we get to your question over Bigfoot, I'll just say that, yes, there are a lot of very strange, covert, and they look very innocuous to the American people through the Park Service. Because, after all, I mean, if you're a member of a, you know, government family, and if you know people that work for the government, the Park Service is not respected. They're considered, like, you know, the janitors of the fucking federal system. So there have been a lot of things regarding Bigfoot. The first thing is that, you know, and we're just talking about, like, in general, the government actively seeks species that are quote-unquote in question. And a lot of this has to do with just general biological modification. I mean, you know, like, we all know about, like, Bessie, you know, the little sheep that was cloned and stuff. People, like, watched it in, like, you know, the early 90s, and they were kind of like, oh, wow, we can clone now. And then, you know, it's interesting, we don't talk about that anymore. We talk about, like, Trump and, like, how he called some woman a cunt. We don't really talk about, like, you know, like, what the government does behind the scenes. And in reality, like, these projects that were started never stopped. So real, I mean, you know, like, when you
real quick, because I've been researching Bigfoot for quite some time now. We've done several podcasts on Bigfoot, and I did one where, is Bigfoot a genetic experiment, where we explored this topic. And it sounds like you're saying that Bigfoot could have been some kind of government experiment, either from an actual Bigfoot creature that was modified or from other creatures that were modified, which created Bigfoot. Is that the case?
Can't really disclose the full extent of everything, but I can say that genetic modification is something that the government has been actively involved with for many, many years. Under the Reagan administration, we started cloning vegetables. To this date, in the 1930s, we used to have over 100 species of corn. In this year, you know, in 2018, there are less than 4 species of corn that exist that are sold in, you know, grocery stores across the United States. And the reason why is for genetic modification. So when, like, we talk about cloning and we talk about the alteration of people, I think people really need to sit back and think about it, because, you know, we look at the human genome like it's this really big instrument, but we have computers today that can calculate millions of years into the future of where our planet will be positioned in space. And as far as I'm concerned, I mean, the space program is a completely different podcast, but, like, you know, when you think about the level of calculations and, you know, the level of mathematics involved in that, cloning is really not that complicated.
Well,
when you look at the
quick tie-in here, not to interrupt you, but what are your thoughts on the ancient Greeks? Like, with, because I've discussed this on several podcasts before. Do you believe they had advanced technology and their cloning or genetic modification resulted in things like the Minotaur or the Cyclops or all these monsters and creatures of antiquity? Is history kind of repeating itself, and is that what Bigfoot is?
Well, I mean, like, when you really look at, like, the span of entire history, history has repeated itself multiple times. It could be put into question whether or not the people of antiquity had the same technology that we had. or the same type of, you know, like, they didn't necessarily have like silicon microchips like we do today. However, you know, the human brain is pretty amazing when you think about what we're able to create from nothing in a very short span of time. And I mean, based on, you know, the laws of science, we've at a maximum peak have been out of the jungle for like 50,000 years. And even that is greatly, greatly disputed by many, many scientists who, you know, like, you know, they can't peg down when we start a fire. They can't peg down when we, so when, you know, the ancient Egyptians, you know, quote unquote, might have had batteries, or the ancient Greeks were able to genetically modify something. And you also have to understand that this is all said without the ideas that there's no extraterrestrial force that's integrated into that equation, just using what we have on our planet and not any exterior force.
Not to go all over the place, but I know our listeners are going to probably be mad if I don't ask the question on extraterrestrials. What can you confirm or deny regarding extraterrestrials, either interdimensional or interplanetary? Because you just rattled that off like you know something.
Well, I can't really, again, I'm not going to get into like, you know, concrete specifics. And if I were to get into more specific line of questioning, it would be for a separate video, but let's just put it this way. We're amongst billions of galaxies. Obviously, we're looking through the looking glass because there's a point in which our technology fails to reach other galaxies. The universe doesn't end at the end of a telescope. And within that spectrum of galaxies, there are planets. And according to science, there are millions of planets within our own galaxy, and that's one galaxy of billions of galaxies. So, I mean, like, just use your fucking brain, and you could, like, fucking answer that question.
Well,
I mean, I don't really need to go there. I mean,
a lot of my personal research is also, it's not just physical space. The amount of dimensions is theoretically infinite. So there could be, on the spectrum of dimensions, there could be interdimensional entities sitting right next to us right now that we would never know about, of various intelligence, correct?
Well, yeah, I mean, I would say that that's very accurate. I mean, you know, and like a lot of people, again, not to go back to trying to sound mysterious or anything, but like organizations like the National Science Foundation, they spend, I mean, hundreds of millions of dollars on, you know, research into mathematical dimension stuff, and then those papers mystically end up in like some sort of like fucking army base, and like, you know, we don't hear anything else about that because they paid the people that wrote those papers, and then those people, they go on to like, you know, like run universities, so they don't really give a shit. At the end of the day, like, people don't understand, like, you know, like when you go to college, you're just so eager to, you know, like be that top dog in college. You know, and you're so eager to do the research. You don't really look at, like, where the research is going. The research doesn't stop with just you. The research doesn't just stop with the people that, like, you know, funded your project. You have to look at the people that funded your project. If IBM is paying you $10,000 a year to do some sort of doctoral research paper, you have to ask yourself, why is this third-party corporation paying me this money for this research? Is it really for the good of mankind? I mean, that's the shtick that they make you sign at the bottom, but at the end of the day, I mean, you know, they're not in the charity business.
So follow the money is a very, very good saying in getting to the truth of anything to do with government, right?
Well, it is, but I mean, that's why the IRS is there, to stop you from searching for where the money actually goes.
All right, well, let's get focused here. So Bigfoot. So can we rule out, I know you're not going to be able to answer things super specifically, but in your opinion, from what you've seen or people that you've talked to, I know you can't tell us how you got the information exactly. Is there more than one explanation for Bigfoot? Is Bigfoot Gigantopithecus or some kind of hominid that survived borderline extinct? And also separately, also a government experiment. So certain people that spot Bigfoot, they're spotting the government experiment or genetically modified creature. And in other instances, it's simply a leftover hominid of some kind.
Well, I mean, you know, like, again, I'm not going to get into like the necessary specifics of like government paperwork or, you know, like minutia. But I will say that the ancient Greeks, they were very good at a certain level of, in their own time, which is thousands of years ago, you know, mixing species in order to come up with a subspecies that effectively suited their needs for their era. I will say that when we look at Bigfoot today, I think a lot of people are hung up on the lore of Bigfoot, that it's this big hairy ape that walks through the jungle. We're not necessarily, you know, like when you think of Bigfoot, you're not thinking of like, you know, like a super soldier that will be able to take care of a opposing government. These types of technologies are designed in a laboratory under very specific circumstances, and it's not necessarily something where like the government just like, you know, creates this and let's just like let it run around a national park and see what happens. You know, these types of experiments take place in controlled environments that like hypothetically don't even exist, but do because of Google Maps, but they don't. And then, you know, you have to also ask yourself, I mean, like, you know, like for example, Google Maps, there are many military bases that haven't updated the, you know, geography of the satellite imagery in over 8 or 9 years. You know, so I mean, like,
well, not to mention, I think people that do look at Google Maps, they see clearly photoshopped or blanked out areas many places, and they don't get
updated. Yeah, of course. I mean, and what a lot of people don't understand is like these third party. I mean, Google is like a really big company, and people look at it like it's like, you know, it actually is running the internet, but it's not. The government created the internet in the 1970s, and when you look at Google Maps, it's an extrapolation of NASA WorldWind, which was a federally funded project. So, you know, again, who are they really getting their information from? A lot of these big megalocorporations that talk about advancement are receiving not just funding. I think funding is kind of like the currency that keeps Americans blind from the information that's transpiring. I mean, who builds our nuclear warheads? Boeing. But you wouldn't think about that when you're in the airport getting on an airplane. Gee, you know, like, I'm sitting in this little cabin.
I did not know that.
Oh, no, yeah, I mean, look that up. I mean, you know, like, I mean, and your viewers should look that up. I mean, don't take my word for it. I mean, you know, I'm sitting here being very vague as, you know, a former employee. But, like, you know, like, when you look at it, like, Boeing receives billions of dollars in contractual obligations to build nuclear warheads. I mean, when you're sitting in first class flying, you know, intercontinental and being handed pedifures, you're not thinking about the fact that, like, that company is being paid to do that. The same thing goes for many, many other organizations in America, and not even America, but also Europe. Europe is heavily involved with America. I think that, like, you know, a lot of people don't understand that, like, you know, there is no necessarily, like, big brother. When we talk about shadow governments, we talk about many governments shaking hands behind the scenes. That's what shadow government is.
Okay, so I'm going to stir the pot even more, because now that I got you on, I'm really curious about a lot of things. I also did a podcast on Bigfoot ghosts, where I explored the theory that Bigfoot, either whatever it is or was, it could possibly be the ghost of Bigfoot haunting the forest and scaring people, because there's usually not fatalities. Most of the times, fatalities are not associated with Bigfoot sightings. So what is your take on Bigfoot, possibly Bigfoot or ghosts in general, and then also what is being spotted could be possibly a Bigfoot ghost, and that's why all of this new digital technology and digital phones and digital cameras, they can't capture it similar to ghosts, whereas if you use some kind of old analog film process, you might be able to capture it, like the Patterson film, which is very, very detailed. And also, what do you think is, could Bigfoot also be an interdimensional creature that's from another dimension and has nothing to do with us? And then, of course, I've also speculated this. It would be a logical fallacy to go with some kind of black or white option, whereas Bigfoot is only this. Is it possible that all these things are versions of Bigfoot that are being seen? I know I gave you a lot there.
Well, let me just put it to you this way. I mean, like, you know, like, science has told you from, you know, kindergarten that, you know, like, we see in three dimensions. You know, like, but we've never extrapolated on, like, you know, the dimensions of that we can see beyond the third dimension. That may or may not have government interest involved. I will say that, like, when you look at, like, you know, projects like the Manhattan Project, again, oh, we tried time travel, we tried interdimensional transport. Again, we say those things in the past tense as if we didn't continue those projects. I'll say that, you know, like, again, interdimensional beings, there are a lot of strange things on this planet that we're, quote-unquote, discovering. You know, who's to say that they didn't, you know, just suddenly warp here or warp out of here? I mean, you, when you look at extinction, who's to say that a particular part of the animal kingdom is necessarily extinct. It's extinct within this dimension. And the same thing exists with, you know, like, you know, creatures that just suddenly appear out of nowhere. I mean, we've been traveling the seas, hypothetically, for thousands of years, according to science. That said, you know, we're still discovering creatures of the sea to this day. And it's not necessarily the depth. It's not necessarily, you know, like, I mean, again, when you look at creatures and the ability to go interdimensional, the very fact that we're able to promote the romanticism of becoming, you know, interdimensional or going interdimensional means that it probably hypothetically exists within the scope of our universe. I can tell you that it does. I can't tell you the specifics of how I know that, but I can tell you that there are billions and billions and billions of dollars spent not only on interdimensional idealism, but also time travel. There's an extensive amount of money spent on the idea of being able to go back into time.
Is it possible for you to clarify at this time whether it's just money being spent or if any of these projects have actually been successful?
You know, and I'm not going to pull the I can't talk about it card. I'm going to tell you that spans beyond the scope of I don't know card. You know, like when you look at DARPA, there are hundreds of millions of dollars. I mean, we're talking about billions of dollars spent on wax paper that's sent into the upper ionosphere. No shit. I mean, you know, you think I'm joking. I mean, I'm telling you, like, they call it, you know, the $10 million wax paper for a reason. They have airplanes that fly into the upper ionosphere just to capture molecules on a little piece of wax paper. It looks like the shit that mommy makes cookies on, that they stick out of an airplane at like Mach 1 to catch molecules in space to determine like what's going on up there. And
that's absolutely fascinating, and I don't mean to reel you in a little bit, because I think all of our listeners will probably enjoy hearing about the multitude of knowledge that you have, but this is a specific Bigfoot podcast. So you think it is, just to clarify again, is it possible that Bigfoot is an interdimensional entity, nothing to do with the government? And you've already said that I don't want to misquote you, but you've basically said that there might be some kind of government genetic modification on a Bigfoot type creature that is going on. So do you know if the government has any involvement in tracking or knowledge of an interdimensional Bigfoot as well? Or is that
I'm not necessarily, like, you know, at liberty to discuss, like, you know, like specific incidents that I've been privy to, just because, like, I do worry about my personal safety. But I will say that there have been things that have been hunted in the forest by, you know, and especially like within the special operations community. And ironically, it's not like you would think, like, you know, they sent a bandit out there with a pitchfork to go find something. A lot of these things are actually stumbled upon. And what happens is they end up in a fucking coffin or, you know, a sealed, you know, container with a confidential security clearance sticker on them. And then they get shipped off and no one ever hears about it again. So, yes. I will say that I think that the government, even though that they pretend like, oh, well, it's just a bunch of lore and bullshit, you know, lore and bullshit has run a lot of things in this world, even before it predates America. You know, lore and, you know, like, suspicion and the unknown drives human beings forward. I think that a lot of money has been spent on the Bigfoot Project. And I think that, you know, a lot of things that relate to Bigfoot and the genetics involved in those creatures, specifically the fact that, like, you know, they might have, like, dual organs and, you know, there might be, like, medical, like, you know, like, knowledge based around them, such as, like, cloning organs, have given rise to a lot of government funding being spent on said Bigfoot.
Got it.
I, you know, that, I mean, it's,
Okay, and I know this, we also were supposed to discuss Dog Man. I know there's not a lot of information about Dog Man, and that's one of the questions I specifically had for you. If you had any specific things you could say about Dog Man, or is this some kind of an ancient creature that just didn't reproduce as often as Bigfoot, so the cases are rarer? And what are your thoughts on, some people think it's actually some kind of demonic creature. I don't know if that would fall under interdimensional or whatnot, but people describe the Dog Man as absolutely not of this earth and completely different than Bigfoot. It's more insane. It's like a werewolf. It's much more vicious. Some people think Bigfoot are like benevolent keepers of the forest. There's Native American myths and legends about these creatures that describe them as kind of spiritual, whereas the Dog Man is always on the opposite end of the spectrum. It's viewed as this ravenous beast that just kills indiscriminately and is just straight out of hell. So, what do you think about why it's not quite as widespread as Bigfoot? But I mean, sightings are popping up now. And there's even stories of even government, those special forces teams. I actually covered that on my previous podcast with special forces teams being called in to exterminate Bigfoots. But some of them don't even want to deal with Dogman because it's just a completely different animal and they don't want anything to do with it. What do you know about Dogman and what can you tell us?
Well, I can tell you this. First of all, Dogman has been around for multi-millennia. If you look at the ancient Egyptians, it was worshipped as a god. Second of all, ironically, it was regarded as one of the spirits of death. So, I mean, that in and of itself is kind of interesting. Additionally, I would also say that, when you look at that type of creature, will I say it doesn't exist? No. Do I have any personal government knowledge of them, having a physical carcass or anything of that nature? No, I don't, honestly. But that said, I wouldn't be surprised if funding and various resources weren't spent on trying to acquire one.
So just you don't have any
Wait,
direct knowledge.
wait, to go back to your question, like special forces won't touch that. You also have to understand that Egypt is in the Middle East. Recently, our government has had a large presence within the Middle East. And I think that, again, you don't have to be a special agent or have any kind of special knowledge to understand the basic principles of government if you've ever worked within the federal government. You'll understand that, like people from janitors all the way up to secret servicemen or whatever, like they all have, a certain compartmentalized knowledge. Having never been deployed particularly to the area of Egypt, I've been deployed to the Middle East, but having not been deployed to that particular region, I can't necessarily say that I've ever come across one. But that said, I wouldn't discount any potato peeler or, simple marine that was just, operating a weapon to say that they haven't, because,
I was actually referencing within the US, the Dog Man, even US special forces within the US don't want to touch Dog Man. The ones that have spoken out, even anonymously, that they have hunted Bigfoot, they said anytime there's Dog Man involvement, they want out of there and nothing to do with it. I wasn't
Well,
specifically talking about the other areas of the world. That is a future podcast, and we will be going over Dogman in other countries because it's not just Michigan, it's not just the US. But yeah, I meant within the US. I should have clarified that.
regarding, like my involvement within Michigan, it relates mainly to specialized organizations that exist within the U.S. Navy. I mean, not U.S. SEALs. I'm not a Navy SEAL or anything like that. But I have worked very closely with very high-level, security personnel that work within the U.S. Navy that are based in Michigan. And I will say that, again, I don't have a lot to comment on that particular entity. But to say that it doesn't exist, I find that, it's funny. A lot of people in this world, like the ones that say, "Oh, well, I saw this or I saw that," they're immediately discredited as morons. Ironically, they not only become the people that are the salt of the earth, but they're the people that actually push our society forward. So for anyone to say that they've seen that or they've had any kind of experience or they don't want to deal with that, I would be interested to talk to someone. I mean, I don't, I wouldn't, I, because, like the fact that they're even discredited you know, is intriguing to me. Because, you know, one thing you have to understand about the government, there's a lot of people in the government that say a lot of bullshit, but there's also a lot of scumbags in the government that don't give a shit. They just want their paycheck. Those people get to the middle level. They don't ever go above that. They don't ever go below that. The people that, you know, end up being the high-level people are normally yes-men. You know, they're vested. It's, you know, the people sitting in the watchtower, you know, that, you know, see a fire in the forest. They're the ones that you really want to believe in the government. It's the ones that are just mowing the lawn and come across something. They're the ones you really want to believe. Do you want to believe me? Probably not, because I do have a lot of special training and I have a lot of experience dealing with like special operations people. So on a channel like YouTube, I'm probably a dime a dozen. So I mean, you know, do you want to believe me? Nah, probably, but you're not gonna. But to the people that are mowing a lawn somewhere and come across a particular incident one time in their career and it happens to be Dogman, I would believe them because they're probably right. I mean, why would you fucking make that up? I mean, what do they have to gain?
That's actually been something that I have pointed out on many podcasts. People, like, there's nothing in it for them. It's not like they wrote books and went on TV. They gave their account, like, once, and they said they didn't even want to talk about it. And usually it's, like, 10 or 20 years later when they're not even enlisted anymore, and they just wanted
because
to...
Because they're afraid of being terminated in the government, especially, like... I mean, you know, and I say the government, you know, like, a lot of people are just like, oh, the government. When you work for the federal government, if you say anything out of the ordinary and you don't have pictures or, you know, an account or it's not someone receiving a medal, you know, like, when you give a story like that to one of those people, you're immediately terminated, you're immediately shunned, you're immediately discharged, and, you know, your entire family and your livelihood is on the line. So I could understand that. I mean, again... In my current situation, I've dealt with a lot of, like, shady stuff. I do have a compartmentalized clearance. So am I validated by a lot of people? Yes. Is that good for the American people? No, because, you know, I'm part of that cult, effectively, that is supposed to remain hidden and behind the scenes. So, you know, do I expect your viewers to believe me? Absolutely not. You know, and that's, you know, but I want to actually, like, give some sort of truth to the foundation of what the government is.
Mindshock is all about exploring mysteries, exploring every theory and every avenue. Because how do you know what the truth is if you don't know the truth? So hopefully most people out there will be open-minded enough to at least consider the possibility of what you're talking about. And just to sum up today's podcast, I hope everybody got a lot out of that because I learned quite a bit. So just to sum it up, you're saying that Bigfoot is possibly... there's genetic engineering involvement on the side of the government, and Dogman you don't know a whole lot about, but it could also be either a real creature that has nothing to do with the government, or possibly also some kind of genetically engineered government entity that's even more vicious and insane and a Bigfoot 2.0 sort of that they...
I'm saying that, you know, based on the fact that, like, you even know that it exists, if it does, and if they found it, there's vials of its DNA sitting in a laboratory somewhere. If they haven't found it yet, that doesn't necessarily mean that, I mean, they're never going to disclose that they actually did find it. I know for a fact that there have been apes that are beyond the genus of human being that have been found, and that there are particular scientific things that have taken place. Regarding Dogman, I'm not 100% sure, but you also have to look at, like, the animal kingdom and the fact that things breed with things that aren't necessarily the same species and derive your own opinion of that. You know, I'm not really going to go into specifics over creatures beyond the two that you've mentioned, but I will say that there have been a lot of things, you know, that have crossbred that the government has DNA on. And those things are actively being pursued in laboratories for the benefit of mankind for pharmaceutical reasons and also for military and paramilitary, you know, reasons. The government is about its own self-preservation. So, yes.
All right, well, thanks so much for joining us, and I know I'm looking forward to getting your thoughts on quite a plethora of other topics. We cover the paranormal, true crime. I know you have insider knowledge on Jonestown, and we will be starting a podcast series on Jonestown because just from speaking with you briefly, you've brought up stuff that I never even heard of in relation to Jonestown. So a lot of good things coming on the Mind Shock podcast. If you like our podcast, you can donate to our PayPal. Just check the link in the description. And of course, make sure you are subscribed. And if you like the video, hit the like button. And feel free to share all our content throughout social media. This is Bruce McGuire signing off.
This is JR tapping out. I'll talk to you guys later.
Have a good night.